let's get ready to wrinkle!
Guys, my basement is full of a pack of unruly jackals.
Whoa.
I thought you were going to say something else there.
I'm glad you went there.
You know what? I'll say it again. I'll slow it down this time. My basement is full of a bunch of unruly jackholes.
Oh.
Is that better?
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say jackals.
Yeah, that would have been weird.
I did. I switched it up on the second pass. Holy crap. It's been a week with you people in my house, and I just don't know how I'm going to cope with it.
Those virtual weeks, man.
If I'm not back next week, know that I'd probably died by my own hand. That's just what I think a fair bet. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fly Casual episode number 41.
41?
41.
We made it.
That's one episode shy of the answer to all of it.
Yes.
No.
I'm excited about that.
What's
one?
The
question is Star Wars?
Yes.
That's a good point. You know what the answer is? Yeah. If you want to say, hey, what do you mean by 42?
Star Wars.
Exactly.
Star Wars. Yep, yeah. There you go.
Yep. Nailed it. Douglas Adams ain't got nothing on us.
Take that, Adams.
Yeah. Screw Jeopardy.
That's right.
What is Star Wars?
Oh, I'm sorry. We needed you to pose your answer in the form of a musical fart. Well done, sir. Well done. All right. So anyway, moving
on. Took me a while to build that one up.
Yeah, I know. It's great that there's always a pregnant pause. Whenever we use the fart sound, there's always a pregnant pause.
Or whenever Garrick's involved. Yeah.
That's true. Garrick's always got pregnant.
I have a longer than normal tract.
Yeah. That was graphic.
Yes.
I'm glad we've managed to somehow work, you know, like high colonics into, you know, both.
I try.
Yeah.
It's my goal.
I appreciate that. Okay. I'm your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson.
Hi, Corey.
Hi. Stephen J. Howie at Master Control.
I got to go first this time.
He snuck that in there.
See what I did?
Hey,
see what I did.
You guys, I reward motivation. Howie showed the gumption and the go-to and the can-do spirit.
I get to roll for initiative. And I rolled a 20.
He rolled a natural 20.
A nat 20. I want to see that dice.
Those are hotter. Over there inspecting the dice in the room, live in studio, is Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy.
Oh, whoa. I thought we were going to Mike. Hey, I didn't think of anything witty to say.
You just said, I want to inspect those dice. I said, over here, inspecting the dice. That should have clued you in that you were on deck.
I don't listen often.
That's a baseball term.
I don't listen.
Okay. I'm on deck.
All right.
So Mike's in the hole.
Well,
it's baseball term.
Mike's the Iron Man.
When is ever Mike not in the hole? Over there, Mr. Michael J. Archbold.
Hello, Corey T. Wilson.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm dandy.
Mike just informed us that he is done with podcasting.
Really? Oh, for tonight.
Man. That's it.
I'm pretty dang close.
We're just starting an episode.
You guys better hurry up.
You need to kick it up a notch, man.
I'm getting ready to tune out.
And we are kicking it up. We are kicking it up a notch because, once again, live in studio, we have the what's left of the Memorial Day crew.
The Peanut Gallery. Come on, boys.
Now, is this the Glee Club back here?
Yes.
No, this is not technically the Fly Casual Glee Club.
Okay.
You can tell because there's less shaving involved. With this group of faces and
maybe,
probably more of manscaping.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there. So, I don't know. I'm just assuming. I don't know personally. I heard from a friend.
Okay.
So anyway, why don't we just do a shout out? Because I got told we didn't do this last time. Here in the room, we've got friend of the show, Brandon from Maryland.
Hello.
Hi. What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
That was like very neighborly. Hey. Well, hello.
Hidey-ho, neighbor.
Hidey-ho, neighborino. And next to him is Mr. Steve Petrie. You know him. He's been on the show.
Rebo.
Yeah, wait, there he is. I do want to point out that my wife was listening to the show last week, and she sent me a message, and she goes, you should get a recording of Petrie and put him on that soundboard saying Rebels. and I went, what do you mean? Because I was pretty sure I knew what was happening right then and there. I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, well, so you don't have to say it every time. And I'm like,
we're doing uncanny impressions.
Like, Rebels would be me doing it, but I'm like, you know, that's been him recorded every single time you've heard it.
Well, you do a pretty good Petrie impression.
No, I do a fly-in
every week. Yeah, check it out. Check it out. I can do a Petrie impression. Are you ready?
Rebels, eh?
Oh, there it is.
Because he's Canadian.
Steve Petrie, dude, what came from up there in Canada?
Halifax.
Halifax.
And over there, of course, is also previously on the show and sitting in the peanut gallery today, Mr. Giacomo, Josh Giacomo Hancock.
Hello, world.
Classic.
Stole his thunder.
Classic.
Stolen
Josh.
Valor, Howie. Stolen valor.
Son of a bitch.
Whoa.
Now he's just hoping you bleep him.
Language.
And over there, looking all smiley and monotone, is Mr. Brian Milosevic.
Catchphrase.
Brian
not related
to the one.
Catchphrase.
Brian Milosevic from South Bend, Indiana, representing. Oh, they'll find you. If you're wondering right now, like, will they find me? They'll find you.
Oh, they'll find me.
And over there. Is Scott even down here?
Yeah, he's over there.
Scott Hughes representing.
Yay. Scott.
Sitting in the comfy chair. Really, really the best seat in the house.
From Chicago. Kind of.
Yeah.
From down Chicago way or up Chicago way, over Chicago.
Chicago
way.
Light?
Words.
Yeah.
It's close to a restaurant we like.
Portillo's.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, Portillo's.
I'm hungry.
Why are we talking about this?
Portillo's?
I'm hungry.
You know what? You would be surprised how many nerd podcasts out there talk about Portillo's at length. It's really, really strange.
Hey, you call me a nerd?
Yeah.
You saying we're nerds?
Yes.
Star Wars?
Yes. I'm not gonna beat around.
It's a good thing, man. Own it.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up. So hey, without further ado, why don't we jump into reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are all dancing.
So we got a full docket on reviews today.
Oh my gosh. Yes. How are we going to get all this in?
We are not going to do Lords of the Sith today.
Oh,
we're delaying it another 2 weeks.
Are you kidding me?
No, Mike. If you think about it, that was really funny that you trolled Mike just now.
Did you actually even read the book, Mike?
No. I've been waiting for you guys to tell me all about
exactly
it.
Worth reading.
That's why Mike gets mad every time we don't review it, because he wants someone to sit down and tuck him in and tell him the story.
Once upon a time, there was a guy named Vader.
Do you usually read stories to your kid in a falsetto like that?
Yes, I do.
Once upon
it's
a time.
It's very soothing, don't you think?
Yeah, it's almost like Julia Child reading me.
Here's the 300 degrees.
Man named Vader.
Anyway, we got a full docket here. We got two comics.
Ooh.
Star Wars number 5.
Yeah.
And Marvel Darth Vader number 5.
Yes.
And as well, I guess if we can fit it in, the novel Lords of the Sith.
Lords of the Sith.
We may not have enough time for that one.
No, we'll see. We'll see if we get to it.
We need to do that first.
We need to do it?
A-holes.
Well, I don't have that.
Wow.
No, I'm not doing it first. Because I'm going to do the comics first.
Oh, jeez. All right,
Let's start with Marvel Darth Vader number 5.
All right, we're going to get the Garrick special.
You're just completely out of order here, aren't you?
We're going to...
Hey, man, I'm a rebel.
The special
Rebels.
Highly.
There we go.
I'm not even having to do it. I'm not. Are you doing it? Or is that actually him?
No, it's Howie.
How close is he getting to the microphone over there? Let's get a live one.
What's that? Rebels.
There you go.
So let's put 60 seconds on the clock. And see if I can.
Here we go.
Get through this without stuttering.
And go.
DV and Dr. A make their way to the coordinates provided by now-deceased Dr. Rodian Face. The ship emerges into real space, only to come across a giant space whale hauling a city full of swiveling-headed robots, and Amy Pond learns a lesson about the relationship.
I was gonna say, I've seen this episode of Dr.
And Payne, and Winston Churchill is there, and a crack in the universe or something. Oh, wait, that's the wrong space thing. Sorry, guys. Aphra lands a ship, and Darth Vader boards, but not in the typical way, because doors, and he don't need no stinking doors. After a confrontation between Vader with a pair of teched-up Jedi, Rodian Face shows up, alive and well.
What?
Yes, spoiler. Because you know he downloaded his consciousness into a body and has a different name. It's now Dr. Silo V for 5. And if you're keeping track at home, that's about one line away from copyright infringement. The rest of Model 5's crew shows up. They are a hybrid human-alien droid Saturday night role-playing group, which Vader feels to be an abomination. And of course, the Emperor, who has now emerged from the shadows, is quick to point out, that's kind of ironic since you're mostly machine now than man. And in that sentiment, they're kind of like his children, which I can imagine makes Annie reconsider his stance on contraception during this Clone War days when he traveled port to port, filthy bugger. And like every union between estranged relatives in the Star Wars universe, they all gather together for nurse steaks and curly nail and talk about the good times lost. Nah, just kidding. Lightsaber fight.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So Darth Vader number 5. I'm really liking this title, and they kind of took a little twist there at the end with this kind of group of alien machine people that don't have the Force.
But Rodian Face is back.
Just died, brought him right back.
Just died right back.
He was Dr.
He's still warm. No,
just to point out, Dr. Silo 4 was his original name. And if you...
Number 4?
So if you take Silo...
Holy cow!
Just to explain the joke and for people who may not be steeped in nerd culture.
Yeah.
If you... Dr. Silo 4, if you... Cylon.
Oh, Cylon. Gosh, you gotta be kidding me.
Caprica 6.
So he downloads his consciousness into a new body.
So honestly, his name is one letter short of Cylon, and when he dies, he downloads into a new body.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's not even a satire. That's just a direct infringement.
Exactly. And the fact that his name is Silo.
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
But it's kind of interesting because I guess the Emperor has constructed a group of individuals that kind of create the Force, but they don't really have the Force. They kind of use technology to kind of simulate Force.
Infuse things with the Force? It sounds like a certain video game we've played before.
Yes, it does. So it's kind of interesting
Jedi Outcast
little thing going on there. And at the end, of course, there's just lightsabers everywhere. I think someone had a remote with lightsabers just coming out of every orifice of the
room. Wow, that is a Saturday night role-playing group.
Exactly.
You nailed that. Can I have a droid that's just lightsabers that spin around? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Roll
sure
for initiative.
Roll dodge.
So, roll dodge.
I mean, it's a yeah, that's,
I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got
Let me see.
Let's see here. They got a, they got a human. They got... Silo.
Admiral Ackbar.
They got Admiral Ackbar.
Is that a bearable?
Yeah. No, that's a
Trandoshan.
Trandoshan. Yeah.
No. Did I blow his legs off?
You got all these people here, and they're just kind of simulating Force powers. I mean, the art is still really cool.
It is.
The story, I think, is interesting. So I want to kind of see where this develops.
Techno magic is so cliche.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, oh, you guys have your magic? Well, we can simulate it with technology, really? Because Star Wars has done this 1,000 times.
Yeah, it has. But I'm willing, you know what? The series has been so good so far, I'm willing to see where they go with it.
That is really sad. Yeah. But everything about the analogy to Saturday Night Role-Playing Group. here's the thing. I don't want to have the Force, but I want to be able to do some Force-like things. So first off, I need a droid that collects the eyeballs out of my fallen enemies.
Aww. That was my first time. Come on, man.
You can't have the eyeballs.
All right, you can have them. Roll dodge. okay, so overall, is this a good progression?
I don't know because
it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah, it kind of throws it in at the end. I'll be interested to see where they go with it. But I mean, I was with the Silo thing and downloading consciousness. It's kind of almost cliche at a certain level. But
yeah,
I think they were giving a nod to Battlestar.
But yeah, a nod. It was an homage.
It crosses the line of an homage and just goes, look, it's Battlestar and Star Wars. You get it? it's a bad joke. Like something a little more subtle, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that is pretty far out there.
I mean, you get to see Vader's newly formed droid army kind of in
Vader's final form?
Yeah, his final
Scorpion form. Vader?
That's right.
Scorpion but Vaderon?
Is this the second episode in a row? He's the same thing.
Yep.
See, okay. I've got
right. Next it's episode a will be thing. The funniest one.
I do have to say there's a little bit of difference between Vader in the new canon here in the comic and what my perception of him is in the Legends series. Because in the Legends, I mean, he's very wealthy and he has his own castle on a planet and I've just always thought of him as his 501st and his elite troops and things like that.
He was high ranking and highly resourced.
Exactly. Warlord. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. But I mean, cause this is Vader. I don't know. To me, this feels like Vader when Anakin first became Vader, like early in the,
after episode 3.
Yeah,
but we know, but that's not so where this is.
This is very soon AN, which is afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, it should be, but we know it's not, right? I mean, this interweaves with the Star Wars title, right?
Yeah. This is like 18 years later.
Yeah.
Thereabouts.
So that feels a little weird.
Yeah. It's very strange.
I'm not ready to abandon it, like, you know, Leia.
It's
you know,
very Leia comic. Right. It's very strange to have Vader now like still struggling.
Yeah.
For, like a he like power struggling. Struggles. It's like, no, dude should be large and in charge at this point, but. Right. You know, those are presuppositions on our point that we never really considered that would come into question.
I will say, though, that, I mean, the Emperor, I mean, because the way the Sith operate, I mean, him challenging Vader at every turn,
right.
I think is consistent.
Yeah,
that's fair.
We'll see that when we review Lords of the Sith. You see that a lot.
Really?
Like, that's been the basics of the whole book, pretty much.
Man, I look forward to that in two weeks.
You SOB.
I mean, I'll still keep reading it. It's an interesting twist, and we'll just see what happens.
Me too. I still like it.
If I end up not liking this story arc, I know they're going to move on, and I still like everything about it, pretty much.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
I think going on to the Star Wars main title.
Whoa.
Number 5. Whoa. So put 60 seconds on the clock.
The last one was a minute 36.
Ready? Well, you guys have kept interrupting me.
And
with laughter.
I need round numbers. Go.
Okay, we open with Boba Fett blowing away a guy. And has Boba Fett saying, "Say, I would like to kill some guys. I would like to kill them in a bar. I would like to kill them from afar. And I will give them breaks in their arms. And I will kill them in the dark. And I will kill them on moisture farms. And on a table. And in a tree. I will kill them all, you'll see. Because all the rules be damned. I want to kill them, because Fett I am."
Wow.
Yes.
I would like to point out that I made a hop-on-pop joke earlier. That was not coordinated.
No. Meanwhile, Mac Daddy of the Stars Han Solo is laying it on thick with a very Padme-esque clad Princess Leia. We can only hope for some aggressive negotiations with the Nexu as they test out their newly acquired shuttle and Imperial codes, which are old, but they check out. Han says, "Screw this hokey pee stuff. It's time for a space fight." Luke arrives at the crazy old wizard's house and goes all Annie on some Tuskens, only to find Robert Downey Jr. circa 1996 had been living there.
Whoa, drugs everywhere.
Oh, yeah, drugs and stuff everywhere. He finds a box with his name on it, but only to have Boba Fett go all Call of Duty Black Ops on him. Dude, you gotta call your flashbangs before you throw them.
And without the interruption from me, that is officially right at a minute.
Yeah, nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Star Wars number 5.
How about that?
Oh, my goodness. This
my favorite one so far.
Yes, absolutely. And I post this on Twitter.
Yeah, Boba Fett.
I wanted a Boba Fett spinoff, but now I need a Boba Fett spinoff comic because, oh, my goodness, the way they handle Boba Fett here. He's just brutal. He does not give quarter.
Did you guys read this at all?
He kills in rhyme.
Yes, he kills in rhyme.
Yeah. Dude,
he reads a lot of
this. This is you have to read this one. If you don't read the rest of them, read this one.
Yes.
This is Boba Fett.
Yes.
He is ruthless.
Like, I think in the comic he says, "I don't care who I have to kill, I don't care who I have to maim, I'm getting my target." And that is Boba Fett in a nutshell right
let's
there.
Let's just put it this way. He ends up at the canteen, okay? Right. And basically, the cantina, whatever.
It's cantina. When are you going to figure
out? It's cantina.
When are you going to figure out that the native language of Tatooine is Espanol? Okay?
That's true.
Okay. So he's at the cantina, and basically he's saying, tell me what I want to know, and some dude with six arms gets up and says, I'm gonna shut you up. Yeah, he ends up cutting off a couple arms and breaking the rest of it, blah, 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 blah. And finally, he sees this kid. I mean, this guy's a kid.
Yeah,
he's in the bar, and he starts running.
He looks about 14 or 15,
right?
I think.
Yeah, really young. And so, of course, Fett catches him. Next thing you know, he's beating the piss out of him. The kid's got teeth missing, and he's like starts spewing everything he knows about Luke, right? And as he's walking away, he goes, "Oh yeah, by the way," and just caps him.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, thanks for the information, blast."
And that'll be Boba Fett Anthologies rated PG coming to a theater near you.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty hardcore. I mean,
I am ready.
It was pretty cool. Like,
I was gonna say I'm ready for like you said, a spinoff comic for Boba Fett, but I'm ready for a spinoff, side anthology that is maybe, not rated PG.
Maybe with all the bounty.
Maybe rated R.
Boba Fett coming to Netflix.
Oh, shut up.
That could be a Netflix.
You want me to get excited about a Fettster thing? A Netflix series,
yeah.
Because that way it's not just a movie that blows its wad in a 2.5 hour shot.
Yes.
It's like a whole series of Boba Fett, just
of blood and guts,
blood and guts of Daredevil plus, you know,
kick it up a notch.
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
But the art in this is just killer.
The art's amazing.
Like, they haven't dropped off at all. They might have improved a little bit.
They have. But the dialogue. Fast forward to Han and Leia in their ship. Yeah. Oh my gosh! I mean, it almost felt like I was watching them in The Empire Strikes Back.
And all the time I'm reading this, it's like, why can't they do this in the Leia comic?
Yes!
I mean, this is Leia. They nailed her. This is the spirit and soul of Leia in this comic right here.
Well, because the Leia comic.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to see it because the very final frame is Boba Fett throwing a flashbang in. When Luke's in Obi-Wan's hovel, just blinding him.
See, and when you made the Call of Duty reference, I thought you meant that actually Boba Fett was teabagging people after he killed them.
Well, we'll wait till SG-6. Maybe that'll happen.
Yeah, that's true. Something to look forward to. Yeah.
Get this jetpack just going.
Dragging his Wookiee pelts across their face.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean.
Oh, man. But I'm super excited to see where this comic series is going.
Awesome.
For sure. Yeah, this one kind of took... Vader was kind of in the front for me, but this one's kind of the Star Wars titles now. I mean,
they're all just very strong, and I look forward to every time they come out just to read the crap. Sweet. Out of them.
Well, I think that's all we have for review.
That means it's time for Porky's Bite of the Week.
Oh,
you know what? It's Mike. When's your birthday?
August 13th.
Close enough.
Happy birthday, Mike. Consider this your very only present you're going to get.
All right.
The Lords of the Sith by Paul S. Kemp. Is that correct?
Yep. Paul Skimp.
Yes. So, Paul S. Kemp.
Paul, yep. I don't really have a review for this because it's super long and
I don't expect
to see the highlights, man.
So the highlights is it takes primarily on Ryloth, which as we know,
Ryloth,
we have a return
palm of the Twi'leks
back in canon.
Welcome back to the same old place that you laughed about. Welcome back. Yeah. Welcome back.
Ryloth.
Ryloth edition.
Is that how it goes?
That was actually in the original song, It was really awkward at the time, but hey, hindsight.
They had to, let's think about it. They had to bring Twi'leks back. I mean, for crying out loud.
Twi'leks are in the movie, so they don't have to come back.
But their home world is actually back. And if, I don't know if you guys read the EU, but our listeners might have, but Ryloth was one of the planets where they harvest spice as Kessel.
Yeah.
And they kept
illegal drugs.
Well, they're
for people who only watch movies.
Right. That helps the Harkonnens and the
okay.
But anyway, the Paul Atreides.
There you go.
Nothing
for you.
So they kept the spice mines on Ryloth.
They did.
In the canon, or they put them back in the canon, I should say, which I felt was super cool.
Yeah.
Like, and it's still kind of a deserty world with still like some trees and stuff on it.
Yeah.
But the main part of the story was there's Cham Syndulla.
Yes.
That's how you pronounce it, which, as you know, that last name might sound familiar.
Yes, it does.
Hera's dad from Rebels.
Hera daddy on this?
Yeah, Hera, he's the main character. It's him and the Free Ryloth movement.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they hatched this plan. Because
he's the leader of the Free Ryloth.
He is the movement. But they
sounds
they,
like that's a whole family of
Rebels.
Ah, I see what you did there. But anyway, they hatch this plan because they realize, or they find through various channels of intel, that Vader and the Emperor are going to make an inspection of Ryloth because the Free Ryloth movement has kind of been making a mess of things, so they're going to come to kind of lay down the law. So they kind of hatch a plan to kill Darth Vader and the Emperor
come
into
Sith. Hey, you know, you got to set attainable goals.
Right.
Every year in my performance review, the goals have to be measurable and attainable.
Obviously, going into the book, you know, they're not going to
Know the outcome,
but
ultimately.
The writer is so good on this that there is points in the book where I'm like, ooh, they might actually do it.
Might have a crack. Wait a minute.
Are they actually clones, maybe? I don't know. Because they get so close to killing both of them, and they do their job so well. Like, I don't know if I really want to go into what they've done,
Save it.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. Well,
no, they totally take down the Star Destroyer.
Oh, yeah. They just decimate the Star Destroyer through various landmines and different tactical maneuvers.
How do you hit a Star Destroyer with a landmine?
Well,
do you just throw it?
There's a lot of little bug landmines.
Syphilis. They affected the whole ship. Yep.
So that's pretty much kind of what it was.
They do go to port to port. Like,
so. Well, see, they landed the Star Destroyer and then just pushed it across the ground for a while.
Yeah. Well, parts of it did land on the ground.
Are you listening, Afghanistan? Sorry.
So they have all these ships that like bombard the Star Destroyer that
they hack droid mines of old ships from the Union, you know, the CIS from the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And they get them to kind of just dive bomb into the ship to lower shields and stuff. And it's really interesting how they do it. And you kind of get, they kind of send teams on to infiltrate. And
so wait, they dragged a bunch of mines onto the ship to hit it?
Well, they didn't. They dragged bombs onto the ship.
So, was it piloted by Tim Allen?
It's hard to really explain it without taking too much time to just kind of go into all the detail that happened.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's a huge part of the book where they're just trying to take down the Star Destroyer.
Okay.
And part of the plan then was, okay, the Star Destroyer's in peril, so they need to send up these teams to fix... to help repair.
Right. Yeah.
And so part of the repair teams were, you know, infiltrators.
Right.
Yeah.
So which actually ended up taking out the whole, planted a bomb in the whole ship and then boom.
Nice. Boom.
So that's basically the first part of the book. Now, the second part is Vader and the Emperor obviously escape and they land on the planet. And this is where you kind of get
I'm going to stop there for a second. Okay. The first half of the book of this, I'm like, okay, there is Vader and the Emperor, but I'm like, this is called Lord of the Sith, and I was expecting more. A bit more, and it was almost focusing more on the Free Ryloth movement a bit.
Right.
But then it turns.
Yes, absolutely. And the Vader and the Emperor, and this is kind of where you get the idea that, okay, the Emperor kind of knows what's going on, and it's you kind of get the hint that this is just all a test for Vader.
I think the Emperor planned this thing... He knew what was going to happen from the very beginning, and this was all part of what he planned.
All through this time, they're getting attacked by ships from while they're on the planet. They're getting attacked by ships from above, and they're destroying. They're getting attacked by wildlife around them that are super BA wildlife thingies. And the Emperor kind of just, whatever. And he's watching Vader just lay waste to everything.
Yeah, he was able at one point to pull out his lightsaber.
Yes.
But only because the Royal Guard was there.
Yeah, which is interesting because one of the Royal Guards was actually a clone.
Yeah.
Jango Fett.
Some leftovers.
Yeah, some leftovers. Which I thought that was pretty interesting because in the EU, it was kind of understood that the clones aged faster than normal, like extremely fast.
Yeah.
So I guess that part of the canon or Legends is kind of kicked out.
No longer back.
Except for Boba Fett, who didn't age faster.
Well...
Boba Fett was an unaltered clone. Thing.
Right.
That's true. Boba Fett was just a test tube baby.
Right.
He wasn't really like a full-on sped up and indoctrinated clone.
Right. So all during the course of this book, it's kind of Vader and the Emperor trying to survive the dangers of Ryloth. There's a bunch of creatures called Lilex, which are like these crazy carnivorous like alpha predator things.
I'm not sure that those aren't also part of the welcome back. I've heard of Lilex
before. Yeah, I believe they are.
I think.
Yeah, sure. Look it up, Mike. What are you doing?
hey, what? You at the laptop?
Hey, you're the one who wanted this.
No. I'm listening intently.
So,
while I'm surfing Facebook.
Rancors on Dantooine.
So a bunch of stuff goes down, and obviously Vader and Emperor come out, not relatively unscathed, but you kind of see at the very end... the Emperor's constantly asking Vader questions about his past, and you know Vader's having visions of his past about Padme and all the stuff he went through.
Yeah.
And the Emperor kind of senses it, and you kind of get the
idea. Well, not kinda.
Yeah, he does sense it. You get the idea that the Emperor's trying to beat that crap out of him.
Right.
Like, no,
gotta tame that dog.
Get out of the past. Get out of the past.
That's right.
So they end up getting off the planet, and everything's okay. But at the very end, this is what got me. The Emperor was kind of pulled out of can and was just wasting everything. And Vader, at the very end, he's like, wow, it's really awesome to see the Emperor just pull out a can, but I know he wasn't even using a fraction of his power. And I'm like, holy crap.
No, I say the biggest eye-opener to me was just realizing how powerful the Emperor is.
Like, they're getting swarmed, like, by hundreds and hundreds of these lilacs, and the Emperor is just, like, wasting them left and right.
Yeah.
And he's like, not even getting
lightning,
touched.
What?
Force lightning, lightsaber, force push, you know, force crush, force...
Like, he could do it all, and he would just... Oh, man, and he could see the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knew... He was already sensing what Vader was going to do in Return of the
Jedi.
And
it was really cool to see him work in tandem, him and the Emperor, just kind of do the, like, some sort of a battle meld. I mean, they didn't call that, but it kind of seemed to me they were kind of in sync.
Yeah.
Just fighting together. And I think that's the Lords of the Sith. That's where we get the title. But I mean, it was a great book overall. I thought the writing was spectacular.
Talk to me again about where in the timeline we are.
This takes place before Episode 4. So,
because
the Death Star hadn't been known of yet. So it's kind of like the early stages of the rebellion. I'd say it's a little bit before Rebels, because it doesn't seem to me that Hera was very old.
Yeah, it makes me feel like this is kind of almost
a midpoint.
This somewhat of a start of a rebellion.
Right.
Because they did end up taking down a Star Destroyer, and that was a big, huge deal.
It was like one of the biggest blows the Empire had suffered to that point. So it seems, and Cham, he ends up surviving. So it seems to me that they're kind of maybe using him in future canon to be kind of an inspiration to the new rebellion. And maybe we even might see him in Rebels. And we have seen him in Clone Wars.
Wait, is that the character that is supposed... Because one of these characters out of this book is supposed to go into... to transcend this book and go into...
I believe that is the female...
Yeah, Moff...
The Moff...
Deli and more.
Yeah.
And is that supposed to be our LGBT character?
Yes.
LGBT.
Okay. And I guess character. I should...
Yeah, go ahead and touch on that.
Just beat the crap out of that mic, Mike. Tear it apart.
Obviously, we talked about it on a past episode, how Star Wars bringing an LGBT character, and, you know, there was a big hubbub by some people about it, but...
Really, and our take on it was that's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares? Just don't hang up on it. Don't plant a flag in it. Just make it normal. Make it fine.
Right.
And they did that.
I'm surprised they even made any deal about it all. Because it's basically in passing. It's like, okay, they mentioned she had a wife that died in this catastrophe.
She was very kind of almost sedentary. Almost, yeah. I didn't care about my job. I'm just sitting back doing spice.
Well, and I think that's a brilliant way for people who might be a little more resistant to that type of, you know, that type of thing coming. I'm not saying that, you know, that people need to be, but like, if you're going to do it, like we said, we don't plant a flag there, but you want to grow this character later.
Right.
That's the way all characters should be done. Everything's touched on lightly and grown gradually.
Right.
And we're just so used to seeing people plant flags in so many different media that it's great to see them handling this exactly as artistically proper as they should.
And going into it, I'm like, oh, they're going to make this the base of her character. And it wasn't at all. The base of her character was like, she was a Moff. She was kind of lax. She was letting this guy handle all of her stuff for her. And he was kind of dealing on the side with the rebellion.
Well, and that was the interesting thing, because his intent was not to be a traitor to the Empire.
Right.
He wanted to get her out of position. So he was working with the Free Ryloth movement to kind of use that as a position to usurp her.
Gotcha.
Right. He was kind of using them to assassinate her basically.
Was it a strong enough character to look forward to more involvement in future stuff?
You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I think they put enough there to, you're like, okay, I'm kind of interested to see what they do next with her.
Because she does have a little bit of character development in the show. Because at the beginning, she's basically, like we said, lazy. She does fights. She's drugged out. And at the end, she kind of, I guess, realizes what has gone on while she was lax and just kind of hands off. And kind of realizes, oh, crap, you know, this has really gotten to... You know,
yeah, at first you're like, I don't like this person.
Yeah,
but then the light bulb kind of flips, and she ends up being how she was previously before her wife's death.
She kind of comes out of her funk. And it'd be interesting if she is in future Star Wars stuff, just to see that development of her becoming, okay, you know, I'm done with this, you know, depression stuff. I'm going to start doing stuff, and probably not in a good way because she's Empire.
But right.
Now, I don't know what your favorite scene of this book was. Is it a scene in a book? I don't know. But mine was when Vader was force choking two people in space in two different ships.
Oh man, that was crazy. Yeah, he was basically he basically flipped upside down, saw him through the canopy, and just was like, choke. Just killed them both.
Wow. Yeah. Apology accepted.
Yeah, exactly.
Killed one.
Yeah.
Didn't kill them both.
I don't know if I could really nail down my favorite scene, because overall, I mean, everything was just, I mean, the action, everything yeah, just when flowed
the Emperor and Vader were in the hive nest or whatever it was called, the cave.
If I had to pick one, that would probably be it.
That was
just
pretty
them just laying down a can. And yeah, it's pretty cool. I suggest reading it, Mike.
Okay. Gauntlet Throne.
Well, and to put it in perspective, those animals that they're fighting, the rebels, they were taking on a few of them and were just getting decimated by them. And here's just Vader and the Emperor, and they were taking on a huge horde.
Yeah, they had a track.
They were in their nest. They're taking on the queen of them.
Yeah,
the rebels were tracking them down, and they had a professional Rylothian, I guess, or Twi'lek tracker that was tracking them down, and they're coming across all these corpses, and he's just like, wow, I've never seen anything in my life. And he's basically like Aragorn of Ryloth. Is basically what, because he can, you know, he sees sticks. Oh,
you're crushing your media,
seven orcs have been here. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I definitely suggest it. And it's pretty cool because the canon, for me, the novels have absolutely exceeded each other in succession. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, I really liked Heir to the Jedi, and this one just kind of superseded that, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well,
that's a big recommendation, it sounds like.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's good to hear. I'm still not at a point where I'm ready to invest in the...
What? You don't like Star Wars?
Invest the time?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Seriously.
Well, no.
It's funny, because you and me were so religious about the novels. But
I was. Dude, you know, you've seen my collection, man.
You can see most part of mine right there.
Right over there.
So, I mean, yeah. Mine was huge, and I don't know. I'm still not over the blow yet.
I'm still not over how, and I apologize for any listeners who disagree. Well, tongue in cheek, I don't really care about the fact that the last novels that came out in the later part of the timeline in the Legend series, I thought were just dog vomit.
Yeah, they were,
I mean, just garbage. I could not sludge through them, and so I haven't gotten over that yet. And then I don't know how to put my faith into this whole.
Do you think the authors saw the writing on the wall and they just didn't care?
I don't think that was it so much. I just think that there was no direction. There was no real direction, because they had so many things they couldn't do, but yet they were so far in the future. It's kind of like, well, if we can't touch all this stuff, what can we really do? Right. And so they just started grasping at straws is what it felt like. And it was kind of aimless. So I don't know. Felt that way.
I agree.
So I'm really, really happy to hear that the books that are coming out now are all coming out strong.
Of the last four, these last four books that have come out, one to me was only kind of boring, and it was
Tarkin.
Yeah,
it was the Tarkin one, which I still enjoyed, but it's definitely not everybody's cup of tea.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that is good to hear, and that puts a stink on the end of reviews, which means it's time for Real Reels, the Porkins Bite of the Week.
Oh yeah, again.
I didn't do it this time.
That's because he jumped on.
You guys don't let me.
It's getting to the point where you guys say again before I hit the music. Mike, go ahead. Mike, go ahead. It's your moment.
Again?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Again. Mike. Y'all know how every Dark Lord of the Sith got a name like Lord Dark Faith or Dark Kill Sting or Lord Dark Punch You in the Faith?
That's my favorite.
Well, Darth Vader, the original, was actually Vader comes from the Dutch word for father.
Uh-huh.
So dude was really just Darth Daddy all along.
Dark father. Darth actually means dark. Father.
You know, the funny thing about that is that from all the tales and stories that we've heard from Lucas,
foreshadowing,
is that they didn't really know that Vader was going to be Luke's father until they were already shooting Empire Strikes Back. But Darth Vader is the Dutch word for father.
They probably actually ended up looking up that word when they're shooting Empire and like, that means father.
Write it for us.
Write a script around that.
From interviews and stuff I've heard with him, I mean, there was that idea to make a father relationship, but I think when he had done A New Hope, he wasn't completely sure at that point that that's the direction he wanted to go.
Maybe he was getting cold feet, like, geez, if this is this successful, I need to tread more lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank goodness history history made itself what it needed to be at the time. Yeah. So, sweet. Guess what? That means it's time for Mike's favorite segment.
What?
Rumors!
Oh, yeah!
Time to bring it down.
Yeah.
Picking off the paint.
it?
No, no, you're not at home, Gary. Put it back on. Okay, all right, boys. Yeah. Daisy Ridley in the news. Oh. Have you guys heard about this?
When is she not in the news?
Well, she's going to be a lot here, I think.
You know, we did rumors in the news last week, and now I just hit rumors, and you said, now in the news.
I think you noticed that.
Okay, in the rumors.
I think our peanut gallery fell asleep, guys.
In our last cast, we mentioned that Daisy Ridley and Kathleen Kennedy had been had given an interview while they were in Japan. Mm. And yes. There was a little morsel. There was a little nugget that came out of that interview that some people are latching on to and tweaking on, as Corey would say.
Take a drink.
Blah, blah, blah.
I say twerking.
Twerking, tweaking, whatever it takes, man.
You know what twerking is, Mike?
I do.
It's this.
Wow, that's graphic.
I'm glad I'm in studio.
I would like to point out that that was the worst twerking I've ever seen. However,
man, and all the practice I put into.
However, it was a wonderful traditional goon butt dance. Yeah.
Well, boys, in the past, we've talked about, okay, it's pretty much accepted that the name Ray is pretty much a code name.
For Jaina.
For Jaina.
Is it really accepted?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. It's, among the geeks online. Actually, I think that's almost, I don't want to say, well, Disney hasn't confirmed that, but it's kind of pretty well.
But we've seen like the pseudo art for like trading cards that say Ray on them.
Yeah. Just Ray, though.
Yeah,
there's no last name. Everybody else seems to have a last name. That's, yeah, so,
I think it's pretty apparent that that's not her.
It's apparent.
And, I just don't want to take it for granted. That's my.
I don't want to take it for granted either.
Let me rephrase that completely. I want to take it for granted, so I'm not allowing myself to take it for granted.
Let's just say that the people that follow this sort of thing on the internet, that's a generally accepted.
So you're telling me that I don't read? That's what you're telling me.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Okay. So Daisy Ridley. You know, it's been debated, you know, who this character originates from. So there's familial ties.
Jaina.
Yep. Jaina. Flo Walk.
Jaina.
So I think all of us here, of course, want her to be Jaina Solo.
Jaina!
Or
the daughter of Han Solo. Well, the other rumor, of course, is that she's related to Luke. Right. So, I mean, that's been floated out there, too.
Niece?
Well,
Jaina niece.
She gave a little hint, apparently, in this interview. Oh. Have you guys seen this? You guys know what I'm
going
to say?
No, actually, I know of the interview, but I don't know where you're going.
You didn't send me the show notes.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
That's all right.
Last second tonight.
What happened when she was all up in Japan?
Well, when they were in Japan, they were talking about how she prepared for the role and... And the theme of family kept coming, you know, back often.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much, I mean, Kathleen Kennedy and her pretty much revealed that, yes, there is a strong family tie. She is related to someone huge in the movie. So, you know, either Luke or Leia. She's one of Luke or Leia's kids. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty apparent. But she said something to the effect of that the character of Rey... is a very isolated person.
Yeah.
And basically she said, that should give you a clue.
Yeah.
Luke. So what does that say?
Well, that makes Luke. It sound like she's Luke's daughter.
Yes, yeah. It does.
That particular statement itself with no other, you know, presuppositions makes it sound like she's Luke's daughter.
Benjina?
Right.
Is that her name?
So, and that's kind of the reveal, I guess, out of this is that, I mean...
But do you think she would be allowed to say something like that if that's supposed to be true? I mean, do you think she'd be allowed to get away with that?
Well, Kathleen Kennedy was sitting right next to her, and she did knee her in the shin, or kick her in the shin after she said that. Yeah. I'm kidding. But, so I don't know.
Maybe she had the Simon Pegg foot and mouth disease.
I'm still, you know, until the movie comes out, I think all of us here are all... holding hands and sitting in a circle and
Jaina.
Praying to the gods.
Jaina.
She is Jaina.
Well,
Jaina.
I would say I'm not in that circle just because.
You are now. Then you can leave.
I have no ties to Jaina or Jason.
Howie, if you don't get in the circle, I'm going to tug you over here myself.
What do you mean you have no ties to Jaina or Jason? You just read the Zahn trilogy.
They were babies.
That's true. That's true.
There's no character development.
You want to get rid of little babies, Howie?
You hate babies?
That's what I said.
Howie hates babies.
Howie, who has his own set of Force twins at home.
That's right. I have my own babies at home. I don't need more.
I know. You had the chance and you didn't do it.
Yeah, because one girl would be named Jason.
Yeah, why not?
That's a cool girl.
Jasena. Or J-C-N-A.
J-C-N-A?
Oh. J-C-N-A. That sounds like a plausible thing you would see on a hospital billboard these days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Let's touch on that for just a second.
Oh, I'm touching it.
If she ends up being Luke's daughter, I mean, how's that?
Now, hey, that's my leg.
Now, let's think about this, too, because if you go back to the trailer we just saw, and you have that power, too, and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Kind of fits that a little bit, doesn't it?
I've always thought that when I saw that trailer, I'm like, oh, maybe, but
I've been fully prepared for that possibility emotionally. Yeah. I'm just choosing not to entertain it
almost
too much.
From the beginning.
A lot of the rumors we've heard are completely the other direction. A lot of the rumors that we've heard are pointing more toward the traditional input of whether or not they're Jason and Jaina, that Han's got two kids in this movie. That Han and Leia have two kids.
I mean, we've heard that, but wouldn't it make sense that Luke has a kid and Han and Leia have a
kid? Well, we don't know anything about Luke getting his rocks off. We don't know anything about Luke getting a little something, a little side loving, a little.
I don't know. There was
horizontal mambo.
There were rumors about red wigs. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah. Amy Pond shaving her head to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Not Amy Pond, but yes.
Mara Jade.
I don't know.
Amy Pond.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'd be okay if that's the case, but I don't believe it yet. And I sit down in the theater and find out I'm completely wrong, I'll adjust as quickly as I possibly can.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm starting to let go of those dreams, though.
I let go of a lot of them, but there's a few that I'm just having trouble kicking loose. And I don't think it's because I want them that desperately. I think it's because a lot of the things have kind of pointed us in the direction of there being very strong parallels. And we've said it 1,000 times in 41 episodes that J.J. Abrams likes to stay with the strong parallels. He likes to use existing momentum. I think that's the phrase I want to start selling.
Yeah.
Is that he likes to use existing momentum. He doesn't really want to push against it and change directions that hard. He might reinvent it. He might put a different wrapper on it, but it's still, he likes to keep things moving in the same direction. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping if she's Luke's daughter, fine. That's fine.
It's the difference between Khan being yelled by Shatner versus Khan being yelled by Zachary Quinto. Right?
Yeah.
Spoiler, dude.
I don't know.
Real quick question. I know Quinto is pronounced Quinto, but does Zachary Quinto pronounce his name Quinto? Because I hear it Quinto, on TV. I feel like I can hear Mario Lopez, who you would think would know how to pronounce Quinto. Saying Zachary Quinto. I don't know, dude. The hotel down the street, I call La Quinta. But everyone in my everyone's in my fight. No, there's a T in it. No, everyone in my wife's family says La Quinta.
La Quinta.
And I'm like, in what way is that La Quinta? It's La Quinta.
He'll always be Siler to me.
Yeah,
he's Siler. Siler. He cuts brains. Wait,
by the way, Siler, not a bad name for a Vulcan.
No, just saying.
Worked. Yeah.
Yeah, only if there's an apostrophe in there.
I wonder if he's going to be back for Heroes. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Boys, you know who is.
It's not a trap.
Wait, what?
Oh, gosh. We have to touch on your thing now. Okay.
He did. Let's go back to Heroes.
I didn't mean to.
Wait.
You open up that can.
All right, time for a new segment. Garrick updates us on Heroes.
It's going to be awesome.
Go ahead, Garrick. You have to talk over the fart sound.
Well, there's this show called Heroes, and it's got Heroes in it, and Greg is in it.
Oh, thank you.
The end. What are you saying about a trap over there, Mike?
It's not a trap.
Oh, it's not a trap.
Admiral Akbar in The Force Awakens.
Oh.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Really?
Welcome. Oh, wait. He was in the movies. Honestly, it's weird. It's like a reversed welcome back. It's like, wait a minute. He dead. Oh.
Wait.
He dead in the Legends.
Huh? Wait.
He don't have to be dead no more. So, he in a way, not. He has been possibly resurrected.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, so, yeah, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about
it? I like it.
Oh, by the way, actor Tim Rose, who played Admiral Akbar in Return of the Jedi.
No, don't say it.
Who we met.
Supposedly, he is slated for the film.
He's
going to be a stormtrooper.
I got to tell you. what does a really aging Mon Cal look like? Is he like shriveled and dried out? You know, are his gills like flushing in and out like a beached fish, you know?
I don't know.
I can't wait till this dovetails into the Admiral Akbar standalone comic.
Yeah. Sweet. Admiral Akbar. I don't know. It kind of made sense to me. I mean, we think about it. I mean,
it's just Admiral Akbar pointing at things and declaring what they are.
Trap.
No, they're not all
trap.
Traps. That would not be too
a
cliche.
Trap.
It's a door.
Yeah.
It's a
door. Well, I mean, think about it. I mean,
it's a car.
You know? The Admiral Akbar memes are all over the internet. So does it sound Disney-esque to capitalize on some of his popularity?
What's that you're putting over your tent? It's a tarp.
It's a frap.
At Starbucks.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, God. Did you just refer to a frappuccino as a frap?
A frap, man.
I can't take credit for that. I saw it on a meme.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
I can get excited about Admiral Akbar's return. And that's literally undoing something in Legends, and we all love the Legends.
Yeah.
That's completely undoing something that was done really well in Legends. His death was done very well. And so
His whole treatment in the Legends was
so, everyone was always so respectful.
It was right on. It was
yeah,
right on.
Everybody mm-hmm. always yep. just wrote Admiral Akbar as just being this highly revered, wizened strategist, you know? Yeah. And it was always just like he was just the coolest of the cool.
Well, I loved the whole arc, too, that he was, who was he? Was he he was Tarkin's kind of slave, right? I mean.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
I remember there wasn't, didn't he invent the B-Wing or something?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Which is interesting because in the Rebels premiere, we did see a B-Wing that Hera was flying. So that makes me wonder if, you know, they're going to stick to that. Is Admiral Akbar or whatever rank he is, Akbar, going to be in Rebels as well?
Well, I love the whole connection.
That'd be sweet if
I love the whole connection with Tarkin, too, because that's where he learned his strategy and all that stuff was kind of shadowing him, kind of.
I actually never really, what little I've heard about that, I've never really cared for it much because I like the fact that Admiral Akbar, in my mind, he's independently strong and brilliant. And the fact that he learned from watching him. I'm just like, shut up. Why couldn't he have gone to military school in freaking Mon Cal?
He was in a couple episodes of the Clone Wars, I think, right? When they went to Mon Cal.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't an admiral at that point.
Was he a lieutenant or something?
But the whole thing about, like, oh, you know, you learn from watching the white people. It's just like, I don't like the way it feels.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'm saying, like, it feels like that kind of same kind of, like, arrogant.
Why not, though? It's not arrogant. I mean, why not have that? I mean, why has it got
to
be?
Why does every alien race have to be like subdued and then educated by watching the Master Third Reich? I don't understand that.
Because the Empire.
Okay. All right. I won't get hung up on it.
Didn't he have something to do with the A-Wing, too?
I'm not familiar with the A-Wing, too. Is it faster than the A-Wing?
Well, yeah. Twice as fast.
The Whoa. A2?
Yes.
The A2X1?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Rebels.
So the Star Wars channel's back in the news. If you guys remember, it's been a couple months since we talked about that there was this idea that possibly they might be.
You know what? Wait, real quick. What would be? We've talked about the. I'm sorry, Mike. We've talked about the possibility of a Star Wars like cable channel before.
Yes.
And we talked about the plausibility, whether or not there'd be enough content, and then saying whether or not it would have to be combined with the Marvel channel. They couldn't be separate.
Yep.
All that.
Yep.
What would you call a Star Wars channel?
Star Wars.
Awesome.
The channel.
It's a trap.
No, awesome. All the kids' channels today have like names like, you know, like Nicktoons and Noggin. I would could you call a Star Wars channel Buckethead?
No, it'd be awesome, but the E is actually an X.
Awesome?
No, it's still pronounced awesome.
Oh, awesome X.
But it makes it extreme.
Oh.
Extreme.
Yeah, I'm going with that?
No. Not at all.
Channels like to put X.
Star Wars Extreme. Is it the Saber channel?
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Saber.
Or, you know, Hutt. Hey, hey, Garrett, come on down to the hut to get your Star Wars on.
I don't get it. I'm not getting it.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, what's going on?
Well, apparently Bob Iger's, you know, given, you know, a report here recently, you know, to shareholders and whatnot, and the idea again has come up about possibly doing a Marvel slash Star Wars type channel again.
Is it like? Yeah. Are they talking of Are they floating them as separate channels? Because there's just enough content.
I know, and I agree, and that's I think that's what our
you said. This is the same thing before. You're like, I don't know. You would have them just play the trilogy on loop, and like that's a TV channel.
If you're considering Marvel and Star Wars, I mean both of them combined
as a single channel, I think you're closer.
How many episodes of the '90s X-Men animated series?
Right. But I'm saying
I would watch that on a loop all.
But
day.
I'm saying as separate channels.
Oh, not as separate.
There's just not enough Star Wars content.
It would just be all Clone Wars. It's definitely all Rebels, not.
Yeah, it would be all Clone Wars, all Rebels.
Six movies. The holiday special. The droids.
Even with Marvel and Star Wars combined in a channel, you can't show the same content all day. I mean, I really think. I don't know. You're going to have to be showing like Bill Bixby's Incredible Hulk to actually pad that out. You know what I mean?
Maybe they'll show like. What was that movie with the.
Dolph Lundgren's Punisher?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that where you were going?
No, I was thinking of what was that movie? Time Bandits or no?
Time Bandits.
Spaceballs.
Terry Gilliam?
What?
Spaceballs?
No. Oh yeah, Spaceballs.
No.
I was
no?
There was a Mark Hamill movie called Time Something. And maybe just do spin-offs
characters
that were also in Star Wars or in this other movie. Here we go. Let's put it up there.
I'm still, even
with they combine the channel, you're right, they're closer if they combine the two properties,
but still. It would be like those channels that show the same stuff, like, for 6 hours a day. Like every day they show half a season of last season of one show, like, I don't know, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay, guys.
It's on 24/7.
Guys, they would put Fly Casual on it.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we got to get that video stream going.
Now let's think more future, okay? Because the future of TV and television and cable is online streaming.
Right.
I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
So does that, okay, if we think of it in that context, like a Netflix, you know, where you subscribe to a channel where you can,
but Netflix don't got no channels, Lieutenant Dan.
It's on, I'm saying it's on-demand content. Does that make more sense to you now?
To me, that's the way I would see it, is just like the HBO Now, here's a list of all the things you can watch in on-demand.
That's the case, I don't think the word channel would ever come into the talk of, I don't think it would ever come into the elevator pitch of it. Because those just aren't channels. Those are just on demand. I mean,
I personally think the whole idea, the whole concept of channels are going away.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, I just read an article this week that actually reality TV is dying because of Netflix. Goodness. I mean, Netflix.
Let's wait. Yeah. Let's stop, everybody. let's go ahead.
Except for Survivor.
Reality TV.
Gotta keep Survivor.
I'm okay
Seriously. So, I mean, we need to really, I mean, if you're talking TV channels and all that stuff, you really need to think more future, because I really think the cable companies are dying. The a la carte, you know, way.
Well, some of the cable companies are doing better than the networks.
Well, look at HBO Now. I mean, HBO's on board now.
Yeah.
You know, how long before Showtime and Cinemax and all the other channels start doing a similar
thing? Yeah, the ones that have the better 9 o'clock and later adult programming. Oh, wait, the internet.
Skinamax.
Honestly, Mike, I agree with you. I think that traditional television programming will go away, but it's not going away now.
Not yet. I mean,
and here's the other thing.
The cable companies are too entrenched right now.
You're a consumer. I'm a consumer. These people that are doing the talking, they're suits.
Right.
And they're the last people to figure it out. For some reason, in the telecommunication industries, plural, the people in the boardrooms are the last ones to understand what technology is driving amongst the consumers. So I really think they would be pushing for like another Sprout channel before they would actually be talking legitimately about opening up digital distribution channels.
Yeah, but we are talking about Disney, and they always seem to be a little bit ahead of the curve.
A little bit. I mean, yeah, they were one of the first ones to like make an exclusive deal with Netflix, but they're still just... they're still trying to make the money off the DVDs. They're still trying to monetize traditional physical media, well, which I'm sorry. When's the last time? Okay, let's go around the room. When's the last time you guys bought a DVD? Or a Blu-ray. That's not a game.
I bought the
Everyone's shaking the their heads looking confused.
I bought the saga on Blu-ray probably 3 years
the Star
ago,
Wars.
4 years ago.
You watched Star Wars on Blu-ray.
5 years ago?
The last, yeah. I have not purchased a DVD or Blu-ray in at least a year.
Does Frozen count?
That was thankfully that was gift. Given to us.
That was a gift. Yeah,
you
gift.
Can only watch that in Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, mine would only be children.
Who got it? Who did the movies. Gift come from?
Grandma.
Exactly.
I still don't ever do that. I mean, all those. I mean, now, everything. I go to Amazon.
Yeah,
They already have channels for genre content. Like, I know.
Movies. Yeah, if you think of the genre content as channels, like
yeah, I mean, they have the...
It's almost like keyword
I'm going to call myself out as a nerd here, guys.
Okay.
I know
wow, last episode you questioned me for calling you a nerd.
I know, I'm ready to come out of the closet.
All right, fair enough.
There's the Funimation channel.
No, you're coming out of the cupboard under the stairs.
Okay. I'm
a
Harry Potter. So there's a Funimation channel, which is an anime distributor, an American anime distributor.
I just vomited in my mouth a little, I'm sorry.
Now, they have a channel that is available, but they also have all, if you subscribe... And you don't have that channel, sometimes you can get all the on-demand content that they would normally show on the channel.
Oh, wow.
So if they go somewhere in that route or, like, maybe an app, like, there's another anime one called Crunchyroll.
I know all about Crunchyroll. I hear it advertised on other podcasts.
So, yeah, we can't advertise that. But anyway, I mean, if they do something like that, I mean, I can definitely see that being... pretty cool.
Okay, now let me ask you then, would you subscribe to it? Because I'm not sure I would.
Depends on the price.
I own all that stuff.
Yeah, how much content am I really getting? Not much.
I don't own all the Clone Wars. I don't own all the Rebels. So I guess if you're interested in that, I would.
You have Netflix, don't you?
I was going to say, I can get Clone Wars on Netflix.
on there.
Yeah, I think this is pretty much a non-thing.
I do. I think ultimately that's what's going to happen too. I think that probably if they're talking to shareholders, they're trying to placate a bunch of investors who don't spend all of their time consuming content. So they're using words that those people can understand. Disney does have an exclusivity deal with Netflix. I don't know if they're going to take Star Wars in that direction. I've said for the last four episodes that I pray that that's the direction they go. But it definitely seems to be the most viable one other than, I'm sorry... You guys keep talking about how Disney's so advanced, but ABC is owned by Disney.
Yeah.
So you can still, Sunday night ABC still seems a real likely target for that kind of thing.
Well, so is the CW, right?
What's that? No, that's not even a little, bit. So anyway, what's next on the rumor docket?
Well, Rogue One is in the news with some...
Mike, I told you it's rumors this episode.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Rogue One is in the rumors this week.
Nailed it.
similar to what we've... I mean, we're past it. We're past the Force Awakens now. So, you know, the rumors as it relates to the Force Awakens are kind of on the decline. And we're seeing more now Rogue One stuff popping in. And so we've got some some tidbits.
Tidbits? That sounds delicious.
MakingStarWars.net has claimed that they have some inside scoop on a few things. So I was going to go over some of that and get some reaction from you guys. And let's be clear about this. All of this is purely speculation at this point. Disney has confirmed nothing about this movie. I think the only thing that we have confirmed is the actress that's playing the lead role. So that's about it. So anyway, let's throw these out there and see what you guys think. So something we kind of already know, Rogue One takes Rogue One, the group that is going to be the heisters, I guess.
The heisters?
Guys are shysters, a bunch of shysters.
Hucksters. Shenaniganites.
all real terms.
So yes. they're going to be the ones that heist the... stolen data tapes.
I've been saying it. So yeah, Kyle Katarn.
Yep.
Played by that Mexican actor that we mentioned on the last episode.
And they will be the ones that deliver the tapes. Mm. Tapes cracks me up saying that. But awesome. They deliver the tapes to the Tantive IV in person.
Me llamo Kyle Katarn.
Now, supposedly, concept art shows Jimmy Smith as Bail Organa and Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Accepting the plans CGI on Tap 4. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I mean, if you know.
Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine Jimmy Smits looking old enough to play Carrie Fisher's father.
Jimmy Smits could still work, but I mean, oh, yeah. Carrie Fisher, how do you make that work?
CGI.
Yeah, do you have no other choice?
Andy Serkis.
Billy Lord's body.
Motion capturing Princess Leia. But why is she walking on all fours and spinning a lot?
And scratching herself.
Yeah. Sounds really, really drunk. What? Okay, that's right. I got that.
So, I mean, okay, do you need to put Princess Leia in this? And number two, is it really the right direction to go to CGI her in?
No. They can do a behind the back shot, and it's just, you don't know who it is. It's just, oh, here's Princess Leia. You can tell by her hair buns.
Cinnabon.
That feels very 1980s to me, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's earlier time.
I don't know. Why not? Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Brian, friend of the show in the Peanut Gallery, has been tending bar like a sweet angel. And okay. I've had enough to suddenly just kind of be like, yeah, it all sounds fine.
Yeah.
You want all to right, play moving on. On.
What does Yoda sound like again, Garrick?
I don't want to do that.
Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle.
That was like, yeah. Tinkle, tinkle, tinkle.
Now you're just blowing it out of proportion.
Doopy doopy doop.
That's better.
R2-D2 and C-3PO will make an appearance. Oh,
what? In a Star Wars movie?
I don't see that.
No.
Not
even. Okay, now get this one. This one's interesting to me.
Okay.
See, I guess they could pull it off if they wanted to. Darth Vader.
What?
Appears to play the main villain in the film.
Oh.
In Rogue One?
That makes sense.
That makes perfect sense, but it's weird that I haven't even considered that. And the fact that you're posing it to us like, well, what about this? It's like, yeah, what about that? Wait, of course he is.
Yeah.
Right.
But wait, what about that? Like, I'm having a really strange dichotomy, like, going on about how I haven't considered Darth Vader being in another movie, like, but of course Darth Vader would be the main villain.
The end of Rogue One is just going to be the beginning of Episode 4.
More or less.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to take off in the end of 4.
So it almost
the
has to.
Gonna chase them
so,
down.
And, I mean, let's think about this from a, you know, a practical standpoint. I mean, James Earl Jones is still around.
Yeah.
True.
He's already come back for Rebels.
They got me.
He's already come back for Rebels Season 2.
Yeah.
I would imagine if they throw a crap ton of money at him, he'll come back for
and
a movie.
And if he dies, they can always just take his different works and pull sound bites out. You know, Vader could be like, you know, go destroy them.
Go.
Goats, my goats.
Oh, I would die.
And then, you know, of course, Hayden Christensen's still around, so they can pull him in to wear the suit, right?
You know, my.
Yeah, why not? only if he's in ghost form.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
I'm against this.
I like Hayden Christensen.
I like Hayden Christensen. The one,
suit,
I don't know where.
Right?
I don't know how many Hayden Christensens you know, but. The one Hayden Christian, I like him outside of Star Wars, but I mean, I'm sorry, I cannot separate his turn.
It won't
turn.
Be him talking, it'll be James Earl Jones.
So you're saying let's make Hayden Christensen the next David Prowse.
Yes, man, why
he's
not?
Just gonna stumble around. Vader.
He bulks up pretty good, right? He can handle himself with a lightsaber.
All right.
Never mind.
Where's Brian to pour me another one?
That motion was not taking out a lightsaber.
I mean, that's kind of. I have the same reaction though that Corey did. That, you know, I mean, Vader, yeah,
so, but duh, but what? So. But duh. I mean, I still don't know where I'm falling on that emotionally. But it's like it's kind of. Am I ready to have Vader as a villain in another movie?
Well, and it makes sense.
I'm not
too.
Even prepared for that, but of course it makes sense.
Doesn't it make sense too from the perspective of? I mean, Star Wars Rebels. I mean, Vader's been brought in. I mean, at the beginning of the Rebellion and everything else.
He's got his own comic series.
Yeah. And he has his own comic series, yes. And hopefully we'll see Dr. Aphra, I'm just saying.
Just Ooh, saying.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
Sweet. What else is next?
Let's see. Thanks for catching me off guard.
Blah, blah,
maybe
blah,
Rogue blah, One is where
blah,
Hera
blah,
dies.
Blah, blah.
Drink.
Or...
Maybe sad.
All the rebel characters, that's where they die, is in Rogue One.
You made me sad.
Well, moving on.
I think the very first shot of Rogue One will be a Star Destroyer blowing the ghost out of space.
Wow.
And then right as the movie starts, you just go, closure, and walk out.
Holy crap.
Vader decapitating Ahsoka, maybe?
Oh,
oh
wow.
No. Yeah. Oh, no.
And he goes,
all too easy. Oh, toads my ghost.
All too easy.
Wow.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down with it.
So what you guys, have you heard the giant spoilers for episode 7 this week?
Do you mean the entire plot synopsis that came out?
Yes. Yeah, get this, man. So somebody's put together... piece together everything that we know about, you know, The Force Awakens,
so, and they've which is got nothing.
They basically have a
like
scene by scene.
Yeah.
They've broken it all down.
Well, I wouldn't say scene by scene, but I would say
it's pretty damn close.
I read the whole thing, and I would say that you get like the first two thirds of it are about what I would perceive to be the first 10 minutes of the movie at best.
Gotcha.
And then the last third of it is everything else crammed in.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to go into it here because even though we're a spoiler cast, we are not out to ruin Force Awakens. No. So,
but we wanted to bring this up for a very specific reason.
Well, we've had a couple of Twitter users call us out and say, what do you think about this? And so we are going to talk about a couple of the big points that would happen theoretically very early in the movie, even if... to the point where you might not even see these things happen in the movie. Like they take place before the movie even starts. But this was a very well put together thing where a lot of things fall into place to, like, first off, some of the other synopses that we heard like back in December after the first teaser hit and things like that, but with more detail. And the one thing that we're going to talk about is that the theory that, you know, if you're ready for this, that Leia dies in the very beginning of the
Nailed
film.
It. I called that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's been geared.
We have because been sailing that we've flag talked for about that because we've talked about that before because we have heard so little about Leia's actual role in the film.
We have nothing.
We've got almost nothing at all, other than maybe that's her hand in the teaser. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I
don't either.
But we've had nothing. So the thing's been thrown around. Maybe she dies off.
You also didn't think that was an alien. I'm just saying.
All right. So what it comes down to is in this synopsis, it's actually stating that that Leia dies within a couple months of Return of the Jedi.
I like it.
The reason why I call that out, and basically, she dies saving the twins. So in this rumor, Rey and she dies
in childbirth.
Oh, I was just gonna say that.
No,
Ooba.
Ooba. So anyway, she's on board a Star Destroyer, taking captive. Star Destroyer's crashing, and she appeals to the Imperial commander of it to save the children and dies. And the reason why I want to call out this one really big spoiler is because I don't think it's a real spoiler. And the reason why everything else in this was great. I mean, all the way down to like, I will say like Max von Sydow, who we've heard rumors that he's playing Boba Fett. And we're like, what? Dude's white. How would he play Boba Fett? Says that Max von Sydow is actually the older version of this Imperial officer who's in charge of this Star Destroyer, which I like Max von Sydow as an old Imperial officer a lot. I like that idea. But my problem with everything that came after this and the whole synopsis is this. If Leia dies within months of Return of the Jedi, who does 30 years older Carrie Fisher play in this movie?
Right.
She's not Leia a month after Return of the Jedi. Right. She's Leia 30 years older.
Right.
So who on earth would she play in?
Wait, no.
It's not Billy like she
Lord. No, they say
she
saving
plays
the
future Billy Lord.
But what are you going to have do? Are you going to have modern Carrie Fisher actually record the lines for Leia?
No.
Because
no
she
way.
Doesn't sound even remotely like she did.
They can modulate that.
Yeah, that would be years of cigarette use and cocaine snorting.
And she has she's developed her own weird old lady accent too.
Yeah.
I'm going to force pull this plastic bottle back into Howie's hands and ask him what he was going to say.
Too late.
It moved. But I mean that's the why I wanted to call that one out is that's the big if you've been out there and you've read this brand new giant plot synopsis, I think that all of it holds a lot of possibility. It sounds very plausible, except this one thing where, and we know Billy Lord's been on set doing something.
Maybe who on earth
does Carrie Fisher play if she dies?
Maybe she gets wounded 2 months after Return of the Jedi, and it just takes her 30 years to die.
That's morbid, dude.
God, wow. Jeez,
they bring her on set to just say, and then she's dead.
Well,
maybe she's just playing her body.
It's like, not.
You know how the desert mummifies things, right?
Oh, shit. You guys.
Too soon.
It's like Mike's describing Star Wars Magnolias, and Garrick over here is just describing a snuff film and corpse rotting.
No, it's called The Mummy. With the
Brendan Fraser. She plays the Scorpion
She's
Queen.
Emotep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and that's what the one thing I really wanted to call out about that. If you've seen that synopsis and if you're freaking out about it, it is pretty close to the fanboy wet dream that we've described in the past about what we would love to see this actually be. It's very, very close, but that one thing in it, like, and maybe she thinks she's going to die, but she survives. That would maybe give this a foothold, but the synopsis very clearly and very definitively said she did. And I'm like, then what would Carrie Fisher, would they sequester her away and she would lose a bunch of weight and all this stuff to not even be in the movie? It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I mean, and we've got other rumors out there talking about her being Queen Leia and being, you know, actively in, like being the one that has dispatched, you know,
I'm the refugee queen.
Poe Dameron to retrieve, you know, her. You know,
I think it's more likely that her children got taken away from her.
Oh.
Well, and that's more in line with what we've. That's burning going down, boys. That's more in line with what we've talked about, which is like the twins were either taken away or intentionally put in hiding or something like that. So I think this synopsis is really interesting.
Well, I read
through it without feeling like anything was actually being spoiled for me because I just really still don't feel like it's actually.
I think the Battle of Jakku's is a big part of the beginning of this movie.
And that's part of the synopsis. That's what's happening. That's why she's on a crashing Star Destroyer, which is the one that you see in the teaser.
They're making a big deal about it in Battlefront, and you're right.
The inclusion in a video game definitely seems to substantiate.
When they were talking about the video game, they were specifically saying there's a tying piece between the movie.
You know what?
The,
hats off, Howie, for pointing that out, because the fact that they would include that battle in the game makes you think that it is going to be a very significant point in the movie.
So Leia had a baby during the battle.
Two babies. Not necessarily during the battle.
She lost them during the battle, and they were raised by wolves.
No. All right. If you don't want to make me go into it.
Actually, that does
if you don't
have
make me want to go into
context.
It. Actually, if you're going to make me go into it. The Star Destroyer crashes. She dies. And Max von Sydow, playing the Imperial officer, ends up raising Rey. And then, but the understanding is that the other child died, but in reality, the other child was taken by the First Order and raised within the First Order. And that's your help me out with the name. I've had too many.
Kylo Ren.
That's your Kylo
Jason
Ren.
Jason Solo.
Who's not
Darth Cadus.
Who theoretically is not aware of his lineage.
You know what's interesting is he could be named Jason Solo, but if he got taken by the First Order,
give him whatever
they
name
could
you
have
want.
Gave him give him a different name so that he would know.
That's
the Solo
what I'm
name.
Saying. I've been saying that the
We've
whole
been
time.
Saying that
boys.
Since day, day one. And right. like I said,
but that fits all
other
that
than
pieces
other
together.
Than Carrie Fisher not having a purpose in this movie.
Yeah,
this is a really, really plausible synopsis. So I'll tell you this right now: if this is what the movie is, I will be happy. Although I'll be totally depressed about, you know, Leia getting offed in the first few minutes. But again, that's the part that makes
no sense.
I've
already prepared you for it.
Maybe that's why they totally screwed up the comics. They're like,
she's not going to be around anyway.
Nobody's going to miss her. Just off her. Anyhow, is that it for rumors?
That's all I had.
My heavens, what another meaty, meaty, meaty episode of Fly Casual that you joined us for. Please join the conversation on Twitter at FlyCasual1138, hosted by
Steve Powell, foreign correspondent in the UK.
A lovely chap who we'll have on the podcast very soon.
Very soon.
And also, we're following on there, too. You can get a hold of us. You can find our personal Twitter accounts on there and chat it up with him, chat it up with us, chat us up about the podcast, chat us up about Star Wars, because guess what? I don't know if you guys know this.
We like talking about Star Wars.
Oh.
We like talking about Star Wars. I'm just saying. So anyhow, also jump on Facebook.
Do we like Star Wars?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I do.
How are we doing? Jump on Facebook.com/FlyCasualPodcast and give us an old like there. Share our crap. We really appreciate that. Reach out to your other Star Wars friends. Tell a friend. You know, because that's really what it's all about. It's about reaching out to people. And you should reach out to people as well. You know, I'm going to start going into the characters and start a little jelly thing.
Jellies and jams.
So anyway, do that. And of course, jump on, you look for the YouTube channel, look for all that other garbage. Jump on betterkind.com and check out the show notes if you want to see links to some of the stuff that we're talking about, all of the stuff really that we're talking about outside of our few
tangential items.
And you can see more information about that stuff. And of course, you can find our Twitters there as well. And jump on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're getting the podcast, please jump on there, give us a positive rating. And you know what? There is nothing unscrupulous, nothing I say unethical about jumping onto a podcast distribution platform that you don't actually subscribe to and giving us a positive review. You want to know why? Because if you're a listener and you like it, you should tell other listeners.
And it's a free country.
And hold your head high. It's a free world, my friend. Well, most of it. Yeah. If we have any North Korean listeners, good luck, I guess. So, in the meantime, I'm Corey. That's Garrick.
Hey, if she had a life jacket, Leia would have survived.
I know. She could have floated.
Yep.
Floated away.
That's how physics works.
Yeah, she'd be like, oh, Star Destroyer's crashing. I got this.
Yep.
Like that. That's what it sounds like when your life jacket inflates.
What happens if you're Chewie and the moon lands on you?
Legends happen. Legends are made. Mr. Steve Howie over there. And then, of course, Michael J. Archibald over there. And, of course, the post-Memorial Day peanut gallery, barely awake, still sipping, most of them holding their solo cups on their bellies.
Woo!
Hello, world! He fitted in. He got it in, boys.
I think one of them might actually be dead.
He got it in. In the meantime, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We love you. You'll hear from us next time. We are jelly.
Zero.
Butthole.